I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Catherine Ugaritz. She is the manager of the Gutsy Girls program at the Santa Fe Institute. And we are here to talk about the 34th annual Expanding Your Horizons Math and Science Conference. We are joined by students Sarah Hartze and Celeste Hernandez. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what is this Expanding Your Horizons conference all about? It's happening on March 2nd at the Santa Fe Convention Center.
Yes, thank you. The Expanding Your Horizons conference is a STEM conference, so it covers science, technology, engineering, and math, as well as computer science. And it's for girls, 5th grade through 12th grade. And what the girls do is they come to the conference, they take different workshops with scientists. This year we have an amazing group of women scientists, many from LANL as well as other communities, coming to give hands-on workshops for girls who are interested.
And so this is really about getting more women into scientific careers in the long run.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, the two of you, what is your interest in this? Have you done this kind of conference in past years?
Well, I've been involved in Project Guts and Gutsy Girls for about 5 years, first as a student and then as a mentor. And I worked at UIH last year as a presenter, and I'm doing that again this year.
Now, let's talk about Guts for a second. What does Guts stand for?
Guts stands for Growing Up Thinking Scientifically, and it is an after-school program that was started by the Santa Fe Institute for middle school age students to try and raise interest in computer science and technology.
And so you got involved with that. What was your particular interest?
I wasn't really sure what I was interested in when I was in seventh grade, but it was fun, and I did it for 2 years, and I liked programming after I did it.
What about you, Celeste?
Well, I started Gutsy Girls last year. This is my second year in the program, coming in as a mentor. And I went to Expanding Your Horizons last year as well with my school. I really wasn't sure what I wanted to go in for. My teacher kind of encouraged me to go into it, and I really love the technology part of STEM.
So what kind of, like, are you also a programmer a little bit?
Kind of. I mean, I'm not really good at it. I try my best, but yeah, it's really fun.
Let's talk for a moment about girls and young women in the sciences these days. I mean, there have been so many studies done, and I remember when I was in college reading about all the different ways in which parents and teachers, consciously or unconsciously, were favoring boys, and that gave them more confidence and things like that. Where are we now?
Well, I think where we are now is looking at many years of data and the kind of data that you're talking about, where people, even with very, very good intentions, may have implicit biases. So, for instance, my brother used to complain in math class how the teacher, when my brother had a problem, would come over to him and say, well, you can, you know, do this, figure it out. And a girl next to him might have the same problem, and the teacher would come and say, oh, well, let me do this for you.
Ah.
And what happens in those scenarios is that, although in the case of my brother, he thought the girl was getting special treatment, it doesn't empower that girl or that young woman to realize, you know, math is not necessarily a natural ability. It can be something learned and something that you get you through grit and just going through the mistakes and the difficulties and having someone support you while you do that.
Right.
So I think that we're looking a lot at how different learning environments really empower and support girls in thinking that you don't have to be a natural to get good at something. If you're curious, if you love technology, and you're in an environment that's supportive and fun and hands-on, you'll start to pick things up and you'll realize things about yourself that maybe you didn't realize.
Celeste is nodding in agreement. Is that right? Is
Yes.
that your experience?
Yes, it has been my experience. Because, like, in many classes I've had, when guys don't get something, the teachers will explain to them and let them work on it again. But when it comes to helping out the girls, instead of actually helping them out, they do the work for them. And it kind of makes the girls feel like they don't think I can do this. They have to do the work for me.
So that's still going on.
Yes.
Prejudice dies slowly.
Well, it's tricky when people are trying to be helpful, and it's tricky when things, sometimes we're not even aware. And Harvard put out this implicit bias test that a person can take online. I took it at a seminar myself. It's really interesting, and it's not to make anyone feel bad. It's just to make us more conscious and aware. Am I doing something for this person because I am trying to help them, or should I really focus on supporting them and developing their abilities? And it just is, I think a lot of it is, it's not mean-spirited bias. It's just busy people and not being able to notice those things or be conscious of them.
What about you, Sarah? Have you encountered that kind of gender difference yourself?
Yeah, like, it's not something that people are consciously doing. I can tell, like, most people I work with are trying to be really supportive. But it's just the fact that being a girl in a lot of science, technology areas, I'm an exception, and Celeste is an exception, and it's, you're treated differently to some extent. Like, people, they definitely try to avoid doing that, but it's something that that just happens. And that's the great thing about Gutsy Girls, is because you're surrounded by a bunch of other girls and you aren't sticking out, and you can, it's I think a more comfortable situation, and I think it helps people be more confident about their abilities and not just not feeling strange that they're out of place.
I think it's such an interesting and important thing to think about, is the relationship between ability and confidence. You gather the confidence and you can do what you want to do. You lack the confidence, and no matter how good you are innately, whatever innately even means, there's too much in your way.
Yeah.
That's very true. And a lot of the studies show something interesting. Celeste and I were talking about it earlier, again, talking about math, where a male student might get a B minus, let's say, in an advanced math class, and a female student may get the exact same grade, the B minus. But what those two students may make that mean about themselves can be very different. The male student doesn't assess that B minus as saying anything about his ability in math necessarily. He just keeps moving along. Whereas a female student may interpret that B minus as, I'm not good at math, I don't really belong here, which is trickier, you know, for women and other underrepresented groups if they already feel like they have to be exceptional to be a part, to have a place at the table, educationally speaking. And one of the things that I love about the Expanding Your Horizons Conference and these other programs for girls is that the young women and the girls have the opportunity to be in an environment where they're surrounded by female scientists, by other girls who are curious and they care and they're interested in chemistry or computer science or engineering, and they're able to just sort of play and relax. And just having that experience, I think, is really important. Even if it's at a one-day conference, it can have a lifetime impact and discovering what you want to do.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's obviously maybe too early for you girls who are in, well, high school and middle school right now, but do you have kind of a sense of direction at this point?
Not a huge sense of direction, but I know I definitely want to study computer science and possibly physics and math. I'm not entirely sure what I want to do with it, but I know it's something I enjoy. And building on what Catherine said, just having a kind of community evolve from these programs, I think, can make a huge difference in maybe not so much giving girls direction in what they want to do, but letting them know that there are options. And that's what Expanding Your Horizons refers to. Looking out and being able to say, okay, look at all these incredible careers, and these are all something that I can do.
Yeah.
Same here. I'm not sure what I want to do when I get older, but I do want to study computer science because it's really fun and it's something I want to do when I get older. I do want to be in the FBI because it seems like a really good job, and yeah. And Gutsy Girls is really giving me that push and that, like, they let me know I have people who can I can always count on to, like, give me that push, who will always be there when I have, like, my bad days and good days. And
yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a really big part of it, too, is being not only knowing you can do it, but being supported when you're having trouble doing it.
Absolutely. And one of the things, too, that you know, we've learned through research is that girls oftentimes will try to avoid mistakes, especially smart girls feel that a mistake or a failure might mean something more than it means, and want to avoid that. So, for instance, they might do something less challenging to avoid the possibility of mistakes and failure, which is actually not what you want to be doing in the sciences or in anything, I think one would argue.
Yeah.
Mistakes are our friends, and our failures are some of our best, although certainly sometimes unpleasant, teachers. And the confidence that I see in these young women, especially our mentors that work with our program, I love watching how they reach out to the younger girls and support them and provide this sort of like an inspiration where you can be someone who cares about school, who cares about science, who cares about technology, and still have a really good time and be social and do things as a team. And in terms of the workforce, having that kind of teamwork is going to be really essential. And there are going to be so many jobs when these girls are graduating from college and that don't exist yet. So it's really about those sort of abilities that you're developing right now, and you don't necessarily know what you are. You don't need to know what you're going to do, but if you know what you love, you can start there.
Yeah, exactly. Now, both of you mentioned being mentors. What? Tell us about that. Like, how does that work in the Gutsy Girls program?
Basically, we help out with the workshops that involves basic setup and then organizing the project and what we're working on. And then also, when the day of the workshop comes, working with a group of girls and kind of connecting with those girls and making sure everything's going all right with them and helping them with the project and just kind of talking with them.
And so have you, like, in your role as mentor, do you then keep in touch with some of those girls later?
Well, this is my first year, but last year I still kept in touch with one of my mentors who's a mentor this year. She's really nice, and I know she's always there for me when I'm having, like, bad times, and I know I can count on her for anything. And mentors, I think, play a big part in this because we encourage the girls to step outside their box, and we make them feel like they're in a safe environment where they can just be themselves.
Also, another way of keeping in touch with girls is Gutsy Girls. We have our own personal social network, which is basically a Facebook-type program that all the girls have. It's a closed network, but all the girls have accounts on it, and so that's a way of just kind of keeping in touch and sharing information and chatting and things like that. So that helps a lot.
We're talking about the Gutsy Girls program. GUTS stands for Growing Up Thinking Scientifically, and that's based at the Santa Fe Institute. Now, Catherine Ugaritz, you're at the Santa Fe Institute and presumably have done a lot of observing of this whole subject. What's it like right now for women in the sciences, for example, in university departments?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I'm the right person to answer that question, frankly. But what I tend to notice is that I think women are working incredibly hard and passionately about their projects and their research that they're very focused on. But I don't know if you saw the article in the Times about the two resumes that were sent to folks. And so I think we still have...
Tell us about that.
Well, I'm going from memory here, but as a test, they sent out two resumes, exactly the same qualifications on both of them, to various leaders in science and academia, and asked, you know, how much they would hire these people for.
And one was a man's
name. One was a man's
name,
and one was a woman's name. I think Jennifer, they gave her the name Jennifer. And the feedback that they got is that there was a difference in terms of how much they were willing to offer the person, how willing they were to take the person, and it was based on gender. The female candidate was being offered less money and fewer opportunities. So, and I think that it's once again, it goes back a little bit to that implicit bias that folks may have. And I think the best way to work around that is to keep working and have more and more women in the field.
Yeah.
And that's...
until women start being the ones who are doing the hiring.
Yeah. And women have to be careful of their own implicit biases as well.
Yeah.
But certainly, I think that's really important, where people feel that they are welcome and comfortable. So, I mean, I know that women certainly, it's a tricky balance. But
yeah,
they are doing some amazing work. And I think that in the next 10 or 20 years, which is frankly not fast enough for me, but I'm learning to just sort of go with the flow that way, we'll hopefully see some changes.
I mean, I think we've already seen a lot of changes because there is, first of all, there are more rules and there's just more awareness than there was, at least when I was in high school and college. I mean, sexual harassment was the norm when I was in college, and there were no rules against it. And the things that professors said to the female students are unbelievable. They'd get fired now.
Oh, absolutely. But one interesting piece of data that I think is sort of troubling is that the percentage of computer science undergraduate degree recipients who are women is actually going down.
Really?
Yeah. So it was higher, and I just updated this yesterday. But so in 1985, 37% of computer science undergraduate degree recipients were women. Now, in 2012, we have 14%.
Good heavens.
So why? You know, and I don't have an answer to what that is necessarily about, but there's something about how people are perceiving themselves or what they're thinking that career would be like or the environment of that career. I'm not sure, but I know we're working very, very hard to have young women really look seriously at the area of computer science as well as some of the other sciences as well, engineering. There's a lot of effort there to bring women in and to consider those possibilities.
I think it would be so important to have women be 50% of the engineers in this country.
Absolutely. And here's, when I think of how much of our lives are framed by technology.
I know.
Right? So do we want only a very small percentage of people, both, you know, looking at gender and also looking at, you know, what community someone comes from? I think we want the most diverse group of people possible developing the kind of things that are going to be shaping our world.
I think it's important to try to understand and really do research studies about why, for example, talented women like you two girls choose the fields they do and choose, you know, to reject the fields that they don't want to end up going into. I read somewhere, and I don't have a footnote for this, but there was somebody actually studied why more women weren't going into engineering departments at a university, and it turned out that the guys liked the cubicles, but the women's liked the tables where they were sitting together and actually communicating with each other. And something as simple as putting tables in the room where you could talk to each other made a difference in what people majored in.
But that's huge, because that's the learning environment. And I would speculate that having a mixed environment where, say, you have the community tables as well as places you can retreat to do private work is also going to have a huge impact on what kind of things people are producing. How they're interacting, how problems get solved more quickly. A lot of businesses now are really looking at how they're creating space. So people are forced to interact with each other, problem solve more early, and those sorts of things.
Yeah, it's the idea of a scientist alone in a lab versus a group of people working together to try and solve a problem. And I think Catherine's right. It's not about a genius or a visionary entirely anymore. Like, that's what's publicized, or those are the stories you hear about. But in reality, it's people working together, and you get more creative ideas and you get more creative input. The more different type of people you can put together, the more women and minorities and just people from all over that you can get together, the more diverse problem solving you can achieve. And I think that's something that we definitely need to strive for, especially in technology, as Catherine said, because it's so important to everything we do in life.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing I wanted to point out, though, when just focusing again on the EYH conference, is that we have so much support from the community for these sorts of things. And so I think that one of the things we're seeing is that businesses and community members are realizing how essential it is to support really every student in the STEM fields, because it's so critical for success in the future for our country.
Now, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But anyway, you know, we're having great support, not just from the Santa Fe Institute and Gutsy Girls, but New Mexico Network for Women in Science and Engineering, LANL, the LANL Foundation, companies such as Flow Science and Rentech, Los Alamos National Bank, Whole Foods, Sandia National Laboratories, New Mexico Export. I'm reading the list. I got to get this in. First National Bank. And really, the city of Santa Fe, they are donating the convention center. And that was with sponsorship from Councillor Wurzberger. So we are so fortunate here that despite some of the struggles that we have, that I think a lot of people's eyes are really open, that it's going to take a coordinated effort to make some change.
Thank you, City of Santa Fe, and everybody else who's participating in this. It's fantastic. And I think that there are so many gender stereotypes about, I mean, math and science being masculine ways of thinking, and poetry and art being feminine ways of thinking.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, it is nonsense.
Yes.
It is pure, total
nonsense.
Absolutely.
I think even the division between math and science and poetry and writing is kind of nonsense, because doing things, like being human and creating things, is about being able to be creative and being able to solve problems and think about things in a different way. And you need those skills in all of those fields. And it's something that shouldn't be divided by gender or anything else.
I mean, you do see guy poets, and you do see women teaching mathematics. It's not one way or another. So
yeah.
I think it goes both ways. I think sometimes women can be sexist towards what men can or can't do, and then men can be very sexist towards what women can and can't do.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I have to say, it's very important for women to notice our own gender biases, too, when we have them.
Definitely.
Whether it be putting down men for something which we shouldn't be putting them down for. Or I noticed the other day, I went into Radio Shack, and there was a male and a female employee. And my first thing was, oh, I better ask the guy because I need some real specific technology thing. And I was like, no. And so I went to the woman, and of course she knew everything, because the women in Radio Shack are awesome.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my God, I'm still carrying this around? But I caught myself and was happy that I caught myself.
Oh, absolutely. And I just to underscore something Sarah said earlier about creativity, I think she makes a really important point that sometimes people can have the assumption that if you're creative, you must be in one of the arts. But if you're in computer science or engineering or other areas, you need to be enormously creative if you're going to come up with a solution around how to make a better bridge, or even something, you know, how to make a better shoe or a computer program that does something that no one imagined could be done 5 years ago. So I think if you are a creative person, I think we want to feel like everything is open to you, that it's not just one area that you need to be in.
Well, I think also something that you said, Sarah, is really important, because putting really strong boundary lines between the kind of creativity that you have in math versus poetry, there are, I'm sure, a lot of examples where people who have been reading poetry and looking at art use those metaphors or use what they learned there to come up with solutions in a completely different field, maybe a technical field. And so having a well-rounded education is also really important.
Yeah, definitely. My math teacher will wax poetical about math for a very long time. Like, he is one of the most poetical people I know in all of my classes, and he will talk about math as something that's creative, and it's about illuminating ideas, and it's about seeing connections, and that's what creativity is. And also, this kind of ties in to the core message of the Santa Fe Institute, which is interdisciplinary scientific pursuits, looking at, breaking down those boundary lines between sciences, because it's at those boundaries where interesting new things start to happen that people haven't looked at before.
So back to the Expanding Your Horizons Math and Science Conference for Girls. It's on March 2nd at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center, and people can find it online by just, I guess you can just do a search engine, Expanding Your Horizons Santa Fe. It's a workshops for students, girls in 5th to 12th grade, and it's on March 2nd. Now, there's an early registration deadline coming up.
Well, our early registration deadline is the 15th of February.
Oh, okay.
So this Friday.
That's coming right up, yeah.
It's coming right up. But go ahead and keep registering even after that. You can register online. And but also, if anyone doesn't have online access and needs a registration form, they can call me at the Institute. And that number is 946-2776, and I can find a way to get that to them. Also reached out to schools with paper registration as well. We really want everyone who is interested to be there, and the registration fee is $5 just to help with lunch. But if that's
the cheapest conference in the history of the universe.
Well, that's what we want. We want it to be cheap, and here's the thing. If you can't pay that, we still want you there.
Okay.
There's a little box you can click and no questions asked. We want students there who are curious and interested and want to have a good time and learn.
Catherine Ugaretz is manager of the Gutsy Girls program at the Santa Fe Institute. Sarah Hartsey and Celeste Hernandez are students. Thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.